Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The Countdown to Green.
Hello, everybody. We start the 2022 IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship with a big race that is even bigger than usual. It is the Rolex 24 Hours at Daytona, and it's the 60th anniversary running of America's Great Race. Hello, it's John Hindhoff and Jeremy Shaw. We're in the Hagerty Global broadcast booth overlooking a very, very busy pit lane full of the 61 cars that will start this race in around about 40 minutes time. To come on our Countdown to Green, our Michelin Countdown to Green, we'll have the Porsche keys to the race, Jeremy Shaw running through the grid. But first, let's get down to that pit lane, which is serving as the staging area for all of our competitors and a goodly proportion of the fans who've made their way out there. And where else to start than at the front of the grid? We'll hear Andrew Marriott in a moment with a first-time driver here from Australia. But let's go to pole position and say good afternoon to Shea Adam.
And hello to Philippe Albuquerque, who gets the best view imaginable going into the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona. You're in the 10 Wayne Taylor Racing. Still, they've won this race three times before. Conic Minolta on the car. It looks the same as last year, and you and Ricky, the only returning driver lineup. You feeling pretty good about this?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, starting from P1 is always a good sign, but 24 hours is so long, and surviving all these 61 cars on track is going to be wild. Wayne Taylor won three in a row, and we are the champions, but again, of this race. But it means nothing. Again, we start from zero. The other ones are as hunger as us to win this race. And I think that's the beauty about this race. Like, there is no favorites. And in DPI, the lineups are great. And I really think that anyone can win this race.
Well, you've got three watches, so you know how to get it done. But as you said, every time you go back, it's like you have none. So good luck today getting a fourth.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and, those watches are never enough.
So from a guy with three watches to his teammate, Will Stevens and Andrew Marriott.
Yeah, Will Stevens, the English driver here, driving for Wayne Taylor Racing for the first time. What an opportunity, Will.
Yeah, for sure. As you say, it's great to be here with the team. Obviously, they've got a lot of history in this race, and this year's a special one for them, going for four in a row. So we're in the best place possible to start on the pole. So got to keep our nose clean for the first 20 hours or so, and then we'll start to push come towards the end.
You obviously had an LMP2 experience, terrific experience of that great season last year. What's the difference with this DP car?
I mean, at the end of the day, they're very similar because the chassis is actually the same. But there's still, fundamental differences in driving style to go with it. I'd say the power unit, being a turbo here, is quite a big difference. But then there's a few of the tyres, the aerodynamics of the car all work differently. So it's kind of a souped up LMP2 car for sure. You can feel the added downforce in the car, and it's a good fun car to drive. So looking forward to it. Obviously the race is going to be long, so I'll be learning throughout the race.
The big story here, of course, is the cold we're expecting tonight could be below freezing. What can you do with the tyres?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the trick for sure during the night. As you can see now, it's probably the hottest point it's going to be during the whole race. But obviously during the night, when I'm going to be getting in roughly around 3 a.m., as you say, it's going to be below zero for sure. So the trick is going to be whoever gets the tyres up to temperature the quickest is going to be the ones dominating at that point. So we've got some strategy ways we can play it with tyres to try and make sure we always have some sort of heat within the tyres and try not to put as many stickers on the car as what we would normally. So that's where the engineers come in. They can help us out as much as they can, but it's going to be tricky for sure.
Great stuff, Will.
Cheers, mate.
Scott Huffaker, LMP2 pole sitter, back with PR1 Matheson. It's still the 52. It's still the wins livery. Same driver lineup. What's going to be the difference to getting it done this year?
Well, I think last year everyone saw we had the pace, but the reliability wasn't there. This year, I know we've worked very hard, the team behind the scenes, to make sure we have that. Last year, we did really good. We had no issues after Daytona. So, yeah, I think that's where this year the difference is. And I think we know from last year this is a much longer race. So we just need to survive till tomorrow. And so it's all about survival and keeping our nose clean.
After winning the other big Florida race last year, the Mobil 1 12 Hours of Sebring, does that make you want this one even more?
Yeah, it really does. I want that watch. And I really want Petit, too. We are so close this year, leading in the last lap. But unfortunately, you know, we had an incident. So, yeah, I want this one, and I want Petit this year.
Well, good luck knocking this one off this weekend.
Thank you.
Camille, very different to the WEC, where you're the world champion, but I think you love Daytona, don't you?
Yeah, I always love to be back here. As you see, I think Daytona is something special. I enjoy United States race, and, you know, I think in the future, this endurance race is going to be big. So, you know, always nice to be joining this championship.
Yeah, Camille, of course, driving the 48 Cadillac here. And what do you think about the night time? It's going to be so cold. You've got strategies, presumably.
Well, I mean, everybody has the same situation, same condition. So I would say we do our best. At least I think our car, it's bright pink in the night. So I think everybody can find our car.
Quick question. Do you think this championship is a little bit more relaxed than the WEC?
No, I mean, same. It's very tough. And as you know, my main race is in the WEC. So obviously, I never done testing this car. I just joining every week for the only race. So it's always I need to adjust myself in the race week, which is a very short time. So I've been here for more than weeks here. But honestly, I have done only probably maybe 20 laps. Yeah. Maybe I did lower tests, but a lower race. But otherwise, you know, it's not much time. And we have to adjust, which is quite tough, to be honest.
Thanks very much. See what happens.
Thank you.
Just down here by the Andretti Autosport LMP3 machine, looking for some of our drivers. There's a lot of crew members around, but the drivers, we've got one of them out front taking pictures with people. Hello. Yeah, of course he can help. The car last week after the Roar race, you guys weren't completely happy with it. Are you happier now that we're on race day?
We haven't gotten a lot of dry laps, to be honest with you. So, you know, I think Gabby and Rasmus did some laps. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'll let you guys know on the first couple stints, and we'll see where it goes from there. We got a long way to go. So I think it's going to be a race of survival, not pure speed.
Now, Andretti is a name that we associate with being on pole at Daytona, but Jared, this is the first time for you. What does it mean for you with your family history here?
Yeah, it means so much with Andretti Autosport, their first entry into the 24-hour and then Mario being here. So, yeah, we're really proud about it, and we just hope we can kind of continue the momentum. And obviously the pole doesn't – you get a little trophy, but you don't get the watch, so you want to push through, and hopefully we have a good race.
What's going to be the secret to surviving the night?
Probably just not crashing on cold tires, you know, and making sure that you're aware of other people out on cold tires. I think it's going to be more give and less take, especially with the temperature. And then once you start to see the sunrise, then you can start to race. But I think it's about putting your ego aside and making sure that you just survive it, like you said.
Thank you, Jared. Good luck today.
Thank you.
Well, down at the number 60, bright pink car, Mayer Shank Racing Acura with Michael Shank, who won this race 10 years ago, Michael. Since then, well, absolutely stellar in IndyCar racing. The IndyCar winner, of course, your team last year. But you'd like to win this 10 years after that famous victory in the 50th anniversary race.
Yeah, you know, that win 10 years ago today really shifted our business. It really changed our destiny, and all to the good, of course. And, of course, we won the Indy 500 with Elio this year. But we really, really want to get this done today. We have a plan. We're going to try to stick to it. The car's very good. The Acura power plant's good. And I got four really, really good drivers. So think you're going to see a lot of calm aggression for 20 hours, and then we're going to full tilt boogie at 4 hours to go.
Got to get through the night, of course, on this cold track. Yeah. And I'm sure you've got a strategy, and you're not going to tell me.
Here's a strategy. Let's get out of the pit lane without hitting the wall at the pit exit, right, with the gold tires. That's strategy number one. But we have tools in the car to help tire warm up. We bedded 15 sets of tires, you know, and got a lap on them at least to get the top layer off. And we've done what we can. We'll do with some things on the traction controls to help on those outlaps. But I think you're going to see the race is going to evolve a lot around outlaps and how good these guys can adapt their car and their style to zero grip.
Great insight there from Mike Shank.
Just trying to walk around the windward car. Excuse me. Thank you. To get to our GTD pole sitter and to speak to our race winners for last year. So I'm going to dive in here with Russell. Sorry, Russell, to interrupt your conversation. Do you mind? You finished the Rolex last year in the first position. Now you're starting it in the first position. It's a nice little bit of symmetry going on here.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's just great to be here, see all the fans back, and it's just a beautiful day here at Daytona International Speedway, and really looking forward to it. And hopefully, you know, it tapers off a little bit for the fans at nighttime. They're not freezing to death out there, but the cars will be fine. The cars will love it. So,
well, the fans and of course our spotters up on the roof. Have you given your spotter an extra hot chocolate or whatnot to stay warm?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly haven't even thought about those boys up there, but they're tough and they're experienced, and hopefully they can just, you know, swap each other out. We got two of them up there, and it's going to be a long race for them, too. I mean, especially up there where the wind's 20 miles an hour plus.
Now, the 57 Mercedes is still the 57 Mercedes, but a different look to it for this year. What's the deal with the different livery?
Yeah, so we got First Horizon on with us, especially at Atlanta, too, and just really proud to have those guys. They're great, and we've got a bunch of them here, you know, watching us race. Hopefully we can make them proud.
Will you make us all proud? Good luck out there, Russell.
Thanks, Shay. Have a good one.
Nunes is going to be driving the Whelen Cadillac down here, and you must be excited about this race.
Super excited. It's a dream come true to be with the Whelen Cadillac Group in Action Express. You know, in my whole career, they're the team that we were always chasing. It's amazing to be with such an established organization, and, you know, their whole motto is expect to win, and that's what we're going to do today.
Just two co-drivers, though.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You know, three of us in the car. We got some long stints ahead of us. But, you know, I think all of us together doing those long stints will give us enough rest in between. So everyone's ready to do their job and do it well.
There are advantages, aren't there, in running just three?
Yeah, for sure. You know, you get a rhythm when you can do long enough stints, especially in the middle of the night when it's going to be, you know, freezing temperatures. It'll be a benefit to, you know, have a guy in the car for multiple stints, you know, when he knows what to expect. So it's definitely an advantage, and you know, we are all training hard leading up to this. I think we're ready.
Good speed.
Yeah, thank you.
Down here in the pit lane, it is so crowded. Our GTD Pro pole sitters were actually not by their car, and they're not on their pit box either, so I'm going to have to keep looking. Laura Wontrop-Glasser, hi. Welcome back to the grid at the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona. You have a massive presence here with GM. Which are you looking at first, the Cadillacs or the Corvettes? Because you got to have a split alliance there.
I mean, both of them, right? It's interesting. It's nice that they split the start so that you can focus on the prototypes first and then you can see the GTs go. But that first lap, just making sure that turn one, right? Making sure we don't have any issues in turn one and everyone keeps. But I think it's going to be an exciting race. We're really, we want to claim the overall winning back from Cadillac for sure. And then, of course, Corvette in the new class. We want to show the world that we can be competitive.
This has been a Corvette race, a Cadillac race for so many years, and Corvette before that, so definitely a good presence. But we got an announcement yesterday from the Blue Oval that they're coming back to battle against you guys in GT3. Are you excited for that?
Absolutely. The more the merrier. We love having all the competition. We love the variety of the brands out there. We think it's better for the fans. It pushes us further. We can't be more thrilled.
Now, the Corvette that's racing today isn't a true GT3. It was sort of taken back to be it. Are you guys considering making one to go out and, well, beat the Blue Oval?
Of course. 2024, we launch ours as well. So I think it'll be a cool story between Chevy and Ford.
Can't wait. Laura, enjoy the grid, and we'll see you during the race.
Thanks. See you soon.
The brightest car on the grid is the great yellow and orange device and the number 81 car. front runner in LMP2, and Devlin De Francesco. Now an IndyCar driver is going to have fun in this because you've had success here at Daytona before in LMPC.
Yeah, no, I think we have a great lineup. We have a great shot. We seem to find a lot more pace between the roar and the race, similar to last year. You know, we have a great lineup as well with, you know, Colton Pato and Eric as well. And, you know, looking forward to going out and getting after it later today.
We really need sunglasses. This car is so bright, run by Dragon Speed, isn't it?
Yeah, you're definitely not going to miss us coming, that's for sure. You know, the car looks great at night. You know, thanks to all the partners that came on board. Kamoa, Jones, Atma Pfizer, Simply V, Neft. You know, hugely grateful to all them and looking forward to getting after it later.
And, of course, in a month's time, you'll be at St. Petersburg and your IndyCar get you all fired up for that.
You know, this is a great way to start off the year. Great race, you know, tough competition. The LMP2 grid is stacked. So, you know, great to get the competitiveness flowing and a great way to warm up for our IndyCar season.
Well, I've noticed that the bright orange McLaren has some of its drivers around the car. They're doing a bit of a photo shoot, but as soon as they're done with that, I'm going to dive in with Patrick Gallagher because he's making his 24 Hours of Daytona debut. And Patrick has a lot of experience here, but in a lot of other cars. So I want to find out how the McLaren is going. Jump in here with Patrick Gallagher. Hey, Patrick, first ever Rolex, you nervous?
You know, I'm not nervous, but I got a little bit of time before I get into the car. That's new to me. So not nervous, just super excited to be here at Crucial Motorsports and Belhaven Investments. And excited more than anything. I imagine an hour before I get called up to get in, I'll start getting nervous. And I assume when I do a big burnout leaving pit lane, I'll not be nervous.
Is that how you got rid of the nerves?
Yeah, I mean, once you get in the car, it's just another race, you know. It's not just another race, but that's how you have to think about it. And once you're in there, you're in the battle, and you just keep going. Going to try and keep the thing clean until the morning, and then we'll take the gloves off when daylight comes out.
This Crucial Motorsport McLaren was so good in the qualifying race. I mean, we were calling car number 59 all day long because it was just Paul and John driving up through the field. Did that make you even more eager for the start of this race?
Yeah, I'm ready to get going here. You know, like, this is cool to experience, and I'm super, super fortunate to be here. We got a fast race car. You know, we got good guys on the box and good guys doing the stops. We got three other good drivers and my co-drivers. And, I'm just super excited. I think we got a fast car, but we got to keep it together.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Shea and Andrew down on the pit lane for us on our Michelin Countdown to Green. Coming up, we'll have the Porsche keys to the race. But it's a big field, so Jeremy has been lying down in a darkened room. Tim Gray, up in London in our main control room, plays the music, and Jeremy will take you through the starters.
Sixty-one cars for the 60th Rolex 24 at Daytona, the opening round of the 2022 IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship and the four-round Michelin Endurance Cup. 61 cars and 7 DPIs, 10 LMP2s, 9 LMP3s and 35 GTD cars split into 13 pro entries and 22 regular GTD. 31 nationalities will be taking part in this race. That's 6 more than last year. So, 61st on the grid will be car number 71. That's a T3 Motorsport North America. That team making its debut this year, this race, in a Lamborghini Huracan GT3. Starting driver is Misha Goikberg. Row 30 on the grid. How cool is it to say that? Row 30. Ian James, car number 27. One of two Heart of Racing team Aston Martin Vantage GT3s. 59th on the grid, Robbie Foley, car number 96, the Turner Motorsport BMW M4 GT4, new car for this year. Row 29, Ted Giovannis will start the Team TGM Porsche 911 GT3R, that's car number 64. Alongside him is Don Yount, another veteran of the series, car number 42 for the NTE Sport / SSR, but a new car there for this year is a Lamborghini Huracan GT3. 56th on the grid, Luis Perez Compunk from Argentina in car number 21, the AF Corsa Ferrari 488 GT3, alongside the Gradient Racing Acura NSX GT3, car number 66, is Tel Bechtolsheimer. 54th on the grid, James Sophronis, GMG Racing, a Porsche 911 GT3R. That is car number 34, alongside a similar car for Team Hardpoint, car number 99, Nick Boole. 52nd on the grid is Marco Wittmann in the one of two BMW M Team RLL BMW M4 GT3s. That is car number 24. In the that same row of the grid, row 26, is Bill Swedler making his return to the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship after a few years away. In car number 19, a TR3 Racing Lamborghini Huracan GT3, a former winner of the GTD class. Row 25, Conor DeFilippi, car number 25, the second of the two BMW M Team RLL BMW M4 GT4s, alongside the Ferrari 488 GT3 Rizzi Competizioni. For car number 62 is Alessandro Pioghidi. 48th position, Giorgio Sergio Giannotto in another Ferrari for Settler Racing. That's car number 47. Alongside the Wright Motorsports Porsche 911 GT3R is car number 16 for Ryan Hardwick. Similar car is one position ahead on the grid for KCMG. The Porsche car number 2 is Patrick Pilet. 45th, David Pittard from England in car number 98, Northwest AMR Aston Martin Vantage GT3. One position ahead, another Aston Martin, another change of car for Magnus Racing. That's car number 44. Starting driver is John Potter. Cooper McNeil is elected to start one of two cars he's going to be driving in this race. It's a number 97 WeatherTech Racing Mercedes AMG GT3. And one position ahead of him on the grid is the other car that he will be driving later on. That's car number 79, also for WeatherTech Racing, but not a Mercedes. It's a Porsche 911 GT3R. The inside of the 21st row, Nick Tandy, in the one first of two Corvette Racing Chevrolet Corvette C8R GTDs. That's car number 4. Row 20, Corey Lewis in car number 39, the car barn with Peregrine Racing Lamborghini Huracan GT3. Another change of chassis for that team over the winter. Alongside a car that made its debut at Petit Le Mans at the end of last year. Car number 70, Inception Racing McLaren 7720S GT3 is Frederik Schandorf from Denmark. Row 19, Daniel Morad from Canada, car number 28, the Allegra Motorsports Mercedes AMG GT3. Alongside the second of the Corvettes, car number 3, is Antonio Garcia. Mike Skeen will start car number 32, the Gilbert Korthoff Motorsports Mercedes AMG GT3 from the 36th position. Alongside the similar Sun Energy 1 Mercedes, car number 75, the car owner Kenny Habul from Australia. 17th row of the grid, car number 12, Frankie Montecalvo for Vassar Sullivan, the Lexus RCF GT3 that is running in the regular GTD class. The pro entry, car number 14, one position ahead of it. That car will be started, car number 14, by Ben Barnicott, who's joining the team for this season. In the 16th row of the grid, two more GTD Pro cars. Car number 23, the heart of racing team Aston Martin Vantage GT3 is Ross Gunn. And alongside him is Austin Cindric, a NASCAR Xfinity Series champion for Proton USA. Car number 15, a Mercedes AMG GT3. Row 15 on the grid, John Miller is driving the Crucial Motorsports McLaren 720S GT3. That's car number 59. Excellent debut for that team in this race. Alongside last year's GTD winners, car number 57, the Wynwood Racing Mercedes AMG GT3 with Russell Ward aboard. Onto the front row in GTD Pro is car number 9. That's Pfaff Motorsports. The Porsche 911 GT3 running in the Pro category is Matthew Jaminet. And on the pole position in GTD Pro, car number 63 for TR3 Racing. Again, an excellent debut for that team in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. A Lamborghini Huracan GT3 for Marco Mappelli, who will start from the 27th position overall. Row 313, John Bennett, car number 54 for Court Order Sport. That's a Ligier JSP320. Another LMP, all LMP3 cars for the next 9 positions on the grid. alongside them. In the 25th position is car number 74, Gar Robinson, the Riley Motorsports Ligier. That is the car that won this race 1 year ago and ended up winning the championship as well. Row 12, again, all LMP3, Dan Goldberg for Performance Tech Motorsports, another Ligier. That's car number 38, alongside CR Cruz from Texas in car number 26 for Mueller Motorsports North America. That's a Duquesne DO8. Row 11 is car number 33, Sean Creech Motorsports Ligier, Lance Wilsey, the starting driver, alongside the 47 Motorsports Duquesne, car number 7, Mark Cavami. Row 10 on the grid, Ori Fidani from Canada making his debut in the Rolex 24 at Daytona, as is the team AWA, another Duquesne DO8, that is car number 13. Alongside him, Efrin Castro, another debutant, car number 6 for Mueller Motorsports, Mueller Motorsports America, another Duquesne chassis. And on the pole position in LMP3, 18th position overall, car number 36, Ligier GS3P320 for Andretti Autosport, is Jarrett Andretti. Moving on now to LMP2. Dwight Merriman will start car number 18 in the 17th position. That's the Era Motorsport Orica. All the LMP2 cars in this race are Oricas with the Gibson V8 engine. Row 8 is Jim Maguire in car number 22 for United Autosports, alongside the Tower Motorsport entry car number 8, John Ferrano. Row 7, John Falb in car number 69 for G-Drive Racing by APR, Algarve Pro Racing, alongside for Racing Team Netherlands. Car number 29, the team principal is Fritz van Eert. In the 6th row of the grid, Eric Lux for Dragon Speed USA, alongside for High Class Racing. Car number 20 is Dennis Anderson from Denmark. Francois Heriot in car number 68, the second of the G-Drive Racing by APR entries. And then the top two qualifiers in LMP2. And of course, this grid was set not in a regular qualifying session, but by a 100-minute Motul pole award race last weekend. Car number 11 is Stephen Thomas. His teammate for PR1 Matheson Motorsports, though, will start on the pole position, as he has done here for the last couple of years, is Ben Keating in car number 52. He's going to be a busy boy this weekend. He's driving not only in LMP2, he's also going to be driving a DPI car as well. Moving on now to the DPIs. In the 7th position, car number 31, the reigning series champion, Pipo Derani for Whelan Engineering Racing. That's a Cadillac DPI. In the outside of row 3 on the grid is Earl Bamber for Cadillac Racing, the Chip Ganassi run Cadillac DPI. That's car number 02. And alongside him, his teammate is Sebastian Bourdais in car number 01. The second row of the grid for Meyer Shank Racing with Kerb Agajanian, one of two Acura ARX 05 DPI cars. Car number 60, starting driver from England, is Tom Blomqvist. And on the inside of row 2, Kamui Kobayashi. Car number 48, the Ally Cadillac DPI. Now finally onto the front row of the grid. Car number 5 for JDC Miller Motorsports, the Mustang sampling Cadillac DPI, is Tristan Vautier from France. And on the pole position for Konica Minolta Acura ARX05, car number 10, the pole sitter for this afternoon's race, and tomorrow's race as well, is Philippe Albuquerque.
It's the Michelin Countdown to Green, and I'm with the legend himself, a Grand Marshal, what a six, Mario Andretti. Mario, memories of this track?
A lot of memories, obviously. My first time here was in 1966. So, you know, I've had the opportunities to drive many, many fabulous cars, as you can imagine. So I've been here as long as you have, Andrew.
Yeah, and of course, a third generation Andretti racing here. And I mean, that's really quite emotional.
Oh, indeed. A lot of pride going into that, for sure. And it's great to see Jarrett out here, you know, with a great opportunity here to win. And here again, it's his first 24-hour event, so we're keeping our fingers crossed, but we have a lot of skin in the game here. So
have you given him any advice?
Just keep it on the track. It's going to be very difficult on cold tires, potentially a lot of mistakes, and if you minimize your mistakes here, you're going to be in a good place at the end of 24 hours.
Mario, thanks for your time. Wonderful to talk to you. Let's just move across here, and I'm going to dive in. Or maybe I can just get Wayne Taylor's NBC interview going in, but maybe I can just get... No, I can go with Jack Roush here. Jack, you've had so much success here as a team owner. What are your thoughts going in as a Grand Marshal?
Well, every time I come through the tunnel and get into the infield and see the hardware and experience the excitement of all the people, I get rejuvenated. I'm back like I was a younger man when I come in here. But it's exciting to come to Daytona. We're expecting a great race. I don't look forward to what the temperatures are going to be at 7 o'clock in the morning, but the teams will overcome that, and they'll have a great race.
Jack, in your heart, are you an oval man or are you a sort of Daytona road course man?
Well, I won 48% of the races I entered in road racing, and all the 24 hours I entered, so I got to say road racing is my favorite.
Further up the grid with the man with his name over the door for not one but two cars in this Cadillac Racing program. It is none other than Chip Ganassi, and we are so happy to have Chip back in IMSA full-time. He did one car last year, two for this season, with the black one on the 01 with the white back and then a black nose and a red background for the 02. And it's been a couple of years since Chip Ganassi has won this race, but Chip, we welcome you back to IMSA with multiple cars. Sorry about that. Sorry to doorstep you like that. What's it like to stand on the grid here at Daytona? Does it still give you the butterflies?
Shay, it's the harbinger of spring. You know, here we are, and even though it's cold in Daytona, it's the beginning of the racing season. So great to see everybody. You know, and the fans have come out in droves here. It looks like they're just clamoring to be at any event, I guess, after the last couple of years, what we've been through. So really nice to be out here. Sun's out, and hopefully we're going to have a good race.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
My goodness me, just legends of the sport. Legends of the sport. And thank you to Andrew and to Shea. We'll see if we can pick off a couple more of those Grand Marshals in a moment or two. Michelin countdown to green and the Porsche keys to the race. Jeremy Shaw is alongside me in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Booth. We are overlooking the pit lane now, which has been cleared. The huge amount of spectators have been cleared away. There's a lot in the campgrounds, even the external campgrounds. I came in the back way this morning. I've never seen that as busy for a long time. I've picked out a few Porsche keys to the race, Jeremy. Set up here, it's not exactly a finger in the air, but there's been very little dry running to this point of the weekend. The experienced teams have an advantage there, do you think?
Definitely the experience seems to have an advantage. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the drivers haven't run at all the last couple of days. Everybody ran last weekend at the Raw test. Obviously, some drivers have more experience than others. There's plenty of rookies in this race. But with the conditions being so different here and so much cooler, that has certainly thrown a curveball at all of these teams and particularly the drivers. You know, building heat into the tires. There's no tire warmers, of course, in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. So when the drivers leave the pit lane, either for the start of the race or after a scheduled pit stop, the tires are, well, as warm as the ambient temperature, which is not very warm, and it's going to get a lot cooler overnight. So setups, you know, are always different with different weather conditions. So there's another curveball there.
We'll continue with our Porsche keys to the race as the formalities are going on down in the pit lane. Don't want to interrupt that. So, and the tyres and the cold, we've covered that. Flexible strategy, always important here. You can't write this one down and say, here we go, this is our plan A, this is our plan B, this is our plan C. Really, you've got to have someone calling that strategy who is looking at the now as well as the ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting that, because I was talking to Ben Barnicott down in the paddock just a little while ago, and he was telling me how different that is to the regular races he's used to in Europe, where the strategies are kind of pretty much, you know, set in stone almost. That's certainly not the case here. There's many there are opportunities here if you have have some sort of a problem and lose a lap or two or even three or four to gain those laps back again, which is virtually impossible in European racing. That's why I think the IMSA WeatherTech Championship is so popular, not only with the fans, but the drivers and the teams as well. So, you know, those strategies, yes, you've got to think on your feet a little bit, you've got to anticipate things, and you've got to be ready for anything that happens.
I always think that 24 hours, if you think about, right, we've got to go till 1:40 tomorrow, that's a huge thing to get in your head. I like to break it up to midnight, morning and noon, and then see where we are at that point. And you know, that, those are the big waypoints, if you will, in this race.
Yeah, that's fair comment. You know, we, this is the first round of the Michelin Endurance Cup, and for that, points are awarded at 6 hours, 12 hours and 18 hours prior to the end of the race. So that is something that plays into the thinking as well, if you're going for the Michelin Endurance Championship, which most of these guys are, so that is important. But mostly, you know, if you speak to most people on the pit lane, they say, look, for the first 20 hours of the race, you just want to make sure you're still in contention. You are hopefully on the lead lap and ready to charge towards the end. So you're not really pushing 100% until those final few hours of the race, John.
Sunset 1800, 6 o'clock. Sunrise 7:14 tomorrow morning, 13 hours and 14 minutes. That's a very long time to be in the cold and the dark. I fear for the spotters. And in fact, Daytona is setting up alternative accommodation in the old press room just down from us there. It almost, you know, have to say, no mistakes, because drive-throughs here can be costly. There are likely to be interventions from the safety cars, but why make your life any harder?
Yeah, you certainly want to minimise mistakes. There are going to be mistakes. There's no question about that. And one little detail here, you know, building the heat into the tyres is going to be a crucial factor. The LMP3 cars, the systems on those cars, there's basically a fail-safe system. You cannot use the brake and the throttle at the same time.
Yeah, it's bizarre,
isn't it? You can in the other cars,
yeah,
but not in LMP3. If you do so, the car will stall and you'll have to reset it. That's exactly what happened to number 38 car in the qualifying race last weekend. It stopped out on a racetrack because he was trying to warm up the brakes like you're used to. If you're not driving an LMP3 car, you kind of throttle and brake at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
You cannot do that with an LMP3 car because the electronics will say, oops, you've got a stuck throttle.
Yeah.
So you're going to crash. So we're going to cut it off and save you. So it's little
I've
things
had
like
cars
that.
Like that before where it just backs the engine right off and you lose power in the middle of the corner, which on a front-wheel drive car, if you're pushing along a little bit and you just want to balance the car and the brake, is really scary.
Yeah.
Coming to a halt on the high banks here doesn't bear thinking about. 61 cars, Jeremy. We have seen it in the qualifying race. We've seen it in all of the free practice sessions this week. After the first few laps, basically, we've got cars all the way around the track. Traffic density is going to be amazing here. And the split-second decisions, I've talked to all the drivers in all the classes, or drivers in all of the classes, and they're all saying, this might not be a physical circuit in terms of draining you, although Owen Trinkler might disagree after his sterling 3-hour 20 stint yesterday. Yeah. Owen, hope you're feeling well, and best to you and Jen and the family. Very dehydrated after that in the Michelin Pilot Challenge. But mentally here, the concentration levels in the daytime and especially at night.
Yeah, I mean, the concentration levels were intense in Michelin Pilot Challenge, much more so here when there's much bigger speed differential between the different classes. And that speed differential here, the DPI cars, particularly in the early stages of the race when the lesser experienced drivers are at the wheel of the GTD non-pro cars, you know, they're going to be being lapped every, you know, 8 laps or so. There's not going to be many clear laps of traffic here at all, and that is certainly going to be a factor.
It is a race that we have mentioned. Those are our Porsche keys to the race, and we'll refer to them throughout the next 24 hours and a bit. We've said this, Jeremy, a bear saying again, is we look down on a brilliant grid with the teams all lined up for the anthems and the invocations down there at the moment. This field is quality. From pole position to 61st, the battles within the classes are absolutely incredibly competitive this year.
In DPI, I would say all seven cars have an equal chance of being anywhere in this race, including winning, of course.
Stand by, Jeremy. I'll come back to that in a second.
There are no make weights, John.
No make weights at all. Hurley Haywood is with Andrew Marriott. We've got to have a word from Hurley.
Drivers to Hurley. Your car.
Great to have you here. And we were talking earlier about Brumos and everything that meant to you. Is there a special key to winning this race? No one knows better than you.
The keys to winning here are two things. One is patience, and the two is able to adapt to change quickly. So if the drivers keep those two things in mind, we're going to have a great race. But with these conditions, it's so cold out there, the tires are cold, it's easy to make a mistake. So I think everybody has learned their lesson, and I think we're going to be in for a spectacular race.
Which was your favorite win, the first or the last?
Well, the last win was with the 962, and that was really a great car. My first win was an RSR, and that was a pretty special win with Peter, and that was the one that brought my name up on an international stage. So, you know, but every win is special.
Okay,
you know?
Thanks very much, Hurley. Okay.
Thank you to Andrew and to Hurley, and our Michelin countdown to green. The 60th running of the Great American Race. 24 hours, twice round the clock. Rolex 24 at Daytona is next in Sound and Vision.